This podcast episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/SFBRP. Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book. I do a review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. Now, I'm not going to do any other introductory stuff or anything else in this podcast because it's going to be a little bit, probably a bit shorter than most podcasts and slightly different in scope. Because I'm working totally without notes at the moment. I've just got some websites, web pages open in front of me. And also I am going to be talking about a kind of project which normally isn't the kind of thing I touch on here. I really enjoy reading paper books and published books in that way, and I enjoy listening to audiobooks, and of course I read lots of ebooks as well. In fact, I read more non-fiction ebooks than I do fiction ebooks at the moment, but that's just the way my reading is going. And normally it's really great. What normally happens, though, is that every week I get, on average, let's say 5 or 6 emails per week from people saying, hey, will you review this book? Will you review this story? Will you review this collection of short stories? Will you review this anthology? Will you review this magazine? Will you I get asked for many, many reviews. Invariably, I say no to every single one of them because I always send exactly the same kind of form reply letter saying, hey, I only have chance, you know, I only have time to read and review on average about one novel or one book per week, and I get many, many requests per week, and often things just fall outside of the scope of this. I like to review science fiction and fantasy, and many of these other projects aren't like that. They also ask, hey, will you review this, you know, like a short story collection, and that's again quite normally outside the scope of this podcast. And also, most people don't even know what I do or care that I exist or anything like that, and they send me a link saying, hey, we think the readers of your blog will like to review this book, and I'm like, I don't have a review blog, or people who watch your podcast will enjoy this, and I'm like, it's actually impossible to watch my podcast because it's an audio podcast. I mean, you can look at the screen and see a picture of me holding a book for the entire time. Not that interesting to watch. So generally, I like to only review books which I choose, and they are, like I say, normally, for the most part, books which have been published in the standard way. You know, they've been gone through a print publisher. Going to an editor, they've gone through all the editing process that I don't have to sort of like wade through the submission pile. That's not what I'm aiming for. However, today I'm going to be talking about a book which is slightly different from that, because someone mentioned me in a tweet or tweeted about me or something like that, and it said, hey, you should listen to Luke Burridge, he's really rather clever. And I was like, well, I don't recognize his name, Andrew Eckhart. So I googled it and found this website, and it was called lastmage.com, and I thought this was his maybe I didn't google him, maybe I just clicked on the link on his Twitter profile, and it came up and it said the interview, and I was like, the interview, so let's see who this person is. And I started reading, and almost immediately I realized that it wasn't an interview with Andrew Eckhart. It was actually the first chapter of a novel, kind of a story called The Last Mage, but also called The Interview, because The Last Mage is a story about the last mage left on Earth, the last kind of magician kind of guy on Earth, told in the form of an interview with somebody sitting down and interviewing the last mage. And of course, I didn't quite understand that, but I read the first bit of this interview, which was called Weather Economics and Magery, and I was like, well, that sounds quite interesting. And then I clicked on the next link, and it's carried on the parts there, and I thought it was just going to be a short story, but it actually turns out to be what's known as a serial novel. And I guess this just comes down to, like, somebody writes a chapter. All of these chapters are in about 2 or 3 parts, and he posted it here to lastmage.com and carried on. And it took him, what, from 2000 and 2010 to 2012. It just recently finished, and it's 20 chapters in that time. Now, this is I have actually read a novel which started off in this form before. There's a book called by John Scalzi called Old Man's War, and that started out as a serial novel that he was posting chapter by chapter to his blog as he was writing it. And that got so much interest because he's I think already an established blogger that he got a publishing deal off the back of that, and didn't actually finish posting it to his blog. Actually, only the first chapters were up there, and then he took them away and put them as it came out as a real book, as a paper book. And I read that and reviewed it and quite enjoyed it. And so that's what this is. It's called The Last Mage, or The Interview. I think it's just The Last Mage, or maybe The Last Mage is like the overall stories, because he does actually say that there's going to be more stories told about The Last Mage and set in this in this world. I mentioned that on the about the author link on lastmage.com. But in the end, so I started reading it, and then I downloaded all of the chapters, every chapter, onto Instapaper, so I could read it on my phone. And then over the course of a few weeks, I read through all of the chapters, because it was quite interesting, and lots of interesting stuff in there. But first of all, I just want to, before I get onto actually what the story is about, I thought I'd just comment a little bit about this idea of the serial novel. This isn't the kind of thing that I would ever do myself, I don't think, as a writer, because I really like to have the whole thing completed in an outline first, and then write the whole thing, and then check it over myself and make sure everything is consistent. But it's a different approach to writing from like the perfectionist who needs everything like detailed and everything set and no internal errors or anything like that, and the pacing, everything set from the start. And then the serial novel is very good if you're not quite sure. Maybe, of course, you know where the story is going, but you're not quite sure how much of the story, you know, how long it'll last or how long it's going to take you. And it's a great way to actually, I guess, encourage you to keep writing and keep posting stuff. I think this came out at sort of like, well, I guess 2010, to maybe like one chapter per month. And that's a good chunk of writing that you can do. But what it leads to is a very interesting situation where it's not been edited all the way through before you read it. It actually says here, it goes, the unedited, unfinished version of the Last Mage main stories will remain free on this website. In addition to special features, only available to email subscribers. And he says, however, the edited, polished full stories will be available for purchase. So, of course, in the future, this you'll be able to get that polished and full edited, everything cleaned up and all the spelling mistakes taken out and the whole thing done. You could get that. But reading it as it was written, like in the form that it was written as a serial, was a very, like I say, interesting experience. Because a lot of the mistakes, of course, at the bottom of each page is like, hey, tell me about spelling mistakes. But I think there's also a few small continuity mistakes, which hardly even matter. But it's like, well, did you go back and check? At one point, I was thinking, wait a second, the hotel number, the floor number of this hotel room and the hotel room number has changed. Has it? Maybe. I didn't go back and check, but in the end it didn't matter. And you realize that all of the things that normally are put in there, like all the padding and all the little details which you would go back through and add in later to tell a coherent story in a serial novel fashion, like Andrew Eckhart has done, you kind of don't really need all of that. Everything just gets concentrated back to, okay, who is this character? What do we need to know about this character? And where is, you know, what's he going to do this chapter to move the story forward? And of course, because it's a serial novel, there has to be something in each chapter that moves the story forward. And I think a lot of authors kind of miss out on this, that they because they're just going, oh, well, this is just one chapter, and this is going to be a scene-setting chapter, or this is going to be a character dynamic chapter, and all that kind of stuff. It gets in the way of like, right, I need to tell the audience this, and then this has got to happen. We got to do this, and it's got to be interesting in this way to get them through, to make them come back in 2 weeks' time or a month's time or whenever this next chapter is going to be updated to keep going. Now, of course, I don't think I'd ever read a novel sort of one chapter at a time, which takes me, you know, a year and a half to get through to the end, because that's how slow it comes out. I don't even like reading, continuing to read fantasy series where I've got to wait years between each novel. I'd rather just wait until, you know, that next section of novels or that next series is finished and then read all of the novels together. There's sometimes I'll do that, but often I'll just save it up and read all the way through, or in many times, just read the first book and then not continue through. But, you know, I don't want to be waiting around. Whereas here I get the benefit of someone writing a serial novel with all of the, like, the fast-paced story and the adventure and the cool ideas that go into it, but without all of the, without the waiting and without all of the padding out that would normally come from, you know, actually turning maybe a serial novel into like a normal one where you'd slow down the pacing here or move stuff around or combine different chapters. So it is certainly a different kind of read than normal, but when I went into it, I realized that's what I was getting. You know, I'm reading through and there's lots of spelling mistakes and all these kind of things. However, the story itself and the mystery surrounding it and like the, well, who's the interviewer, who's the writer and who is the mage and what powers has he got and things like that are the kind of things which sustained me through the first few chapters. And by then I was sort of into the story and that took me all the way through to the end. So after setting up that way, I might as well just talk about this story. So it's set on, like, in a kind of an alternative Earth, which is kind of like 21st century Earth. However, there are some differences. We find out that there's a guy called the Mage, who is the last mage of the title, Last Mage, and his name is... I should have really made some notes. His name is Valentine. I think Elijah... Is it Elijah Valentine? Again, this is why I normally have notes, so I can. I finished reading this about a week ago, so yeah, let's just call him Valentine, Elijah Valentine, and so he is he's our main character. But then we get a guy called the Writer, and the Writer is interviewing him about what's called the event. And I was like, well, what's the event? And we find out very early on that the event is a big kind of alien invasion from an alternate dimension, which happened in Washington, and that's told like that's right away in like chapter one, or at least chapter one or two. We're told about that, but we're introduced to this character called the Mage, and the Mage is this interdimensional being. Well, it's a bit weird, but he is a being which can contact and use the strength and intellect and powers of all of his other variations in all of the other parallel universes which are next to Earth. So he is normally just like a human, but he can, like I say, sometimes he goes, right, I'm going to expand my brain and I'm going to connect with all of my alternate versions of myself and open myself up to the infinite quantum possibilities. And together we will work out this problem and do these calculations, and it doesn't matter how much time we can take, because we can all take a little part of the problem and all think about it, and then all sort of collapse that quantum waveform back across these dimensions into my own brain, and I can just know exactly what to do, and in this way you can like slow down time and things, and that's a really interesting take on what is essentially a Superman like superhero kind of figure, even though he doesn't dress up in a cape and all that kind of stuff. He does have that sort of heroic messiah kind of figure, and we're told that he saves the world. Also, he is immortal, and we're never quite sure how old he is. In the first one, he's like, oh yes, and I talked to this person. In the second chapter, or is it the end of the first chapter, he meets up with someone and says, hey, yeah, you told us. The president got in contact. You told us that you'd look out for the United States. No problem. If we ever had a problem, we could come and call you. He says, yeah, I told that to George Washington. And they say, well, we still have that letter on file, so that's why we came back to talk to you. And then at one point he goes, oh, yeah, and I remember Atlantis. And you're like, Atlantis. And then he goes, oh, yeah, talking about Merlin. And you're like, wow, this is going back. And then he starts talking about the Sumerians. And you realize that this guy, slowly realize that the mage has been around for a long, 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 long time. However, he still does have the... And just to be clear, that it, while this could be like, oh, well, what does he care about humans? A huge part of this book is him wrestling with his view of humanity and him wrestling with his own humanity and talking about, you know, well, like what happens if you fall in love with someone? Of course, you're going to live longer than them, but you know, you want to eat it, you want to do it anyway. Again, I don't want to go too much into that because that is this bit of a spoilers for later on. In this book, in this serial novel, So yeah, that's his character. However, there are lots of other things which are sort of lurking in the background. It's not just him. There are other interdimensional beings, and it turns out that in our past there are these fantastical characters and mythological figures who are also either beings from other dimensions. Like right in the very first chapter, he talks about a demon comes to see him, and the writer's like, a demon, are you sure? He's like, well, not what you would call a demon, it's not what you think is a demon, but it's a being which is from an alternate dimension, which is now residing on Earth and has different capabilities and has different powers. And interestingly, the demons look at the humans and they see humans as having different powers. Like, humans can look at something and grasp and sort through and process loads and loads and loads and loads of information all in one glance. They can just look at something and it's all there. And demons don't have that ability, but they do have other abilities. And then there's some others, which I think there's like some ancient gods which are told to be like similar to Valentine the mage, and there's the sirens, and there's other beasts and beings which turn up. And and so what happens when I say there's a big alien invasion from a different dimension, this is at once a kind of science fictional idea of alternate dimensions and people being able to connect between them and use powers of, you know, different powers that will give them by connecting with their different bodies in different dimensions and sort of bring them together. So you've got like science fictional elements, but then you've also got like fantastical and mythological elements where he can bring in characters from mythology into the story. And the entire novel kind of builds towards a big battle versus good and evil. But then again, is it good and evil? I mean, what, you know, and there's all these different different layers there, and different it's weird to say conspiracies, but you know, that kind of like secrets held by the gods for generation after generation after generation, and some parts of some governments know little bits about this and there. But it starts off with Tokyo disappearing and being replaced by a big crater, and pretty much goes on from there. A lot of the action is on that like grand scale, but then so much of it happens on a much smaller human scale as well. There are other characters which Valentine works with. You've got Michelle Williams, who is like the head of the I think it's the Department of Homeland Security's special unit on you know, paranormal and mythological kind of things, you know, X-Files kind of thing, but they actually exist in it. Unlike the, well, I guess in the X-Files, aliens did exist, but here they actually do have money and do have resources. That's pretty cool stuff there. Oh, and she gets together her own superhero team, which is mostly Valentine, but he does have some help. There's someone who can see through these, through the different dimensions and see what's going to be happening in the future. There's this one woman who is slightly like clairvoyance kind of thing. And there's a young kid called Aiden. And Aiden, his backstory isn't really that well explained, except that, you know, the American Special Forces have been experimenting with this alternate dimension technology and different technologies from different alternate dimensions. So technology which crossed the dimensions and technology stolen from other dimensions, or that have been brought in with the demons, and have bred Aiden from two of their operatives, and he is like this superhuman, again another Superman kind of thing, but he's a young kid, so more of a maybe a Spider-Man kind of thing, and he battles alongside Valentine. That's pretty much the world and the story. There are some really cool science fictional machines and elements. There's the kind of mage tower, which again I don't want to get too much into, but there are these little devices that Valentine has to make, and it's clear that he has this company which specializes in using his knowledge, and by using his knowledge of these different technologies, creating new technologies, and it shows that, oh, he invented the different writing implements, and he invented computers, and he invented these kind of things by stealing them from other dimensions and using his own skills and then kind of passing them off as or sort of passing the ideas across to other companies and shell companies and inventing the light bulb, maybe not the light bulb, but, you know, bringing in this different technology as it can better the world by bringing in these technologies when this world is used to it. Not all technologies are like that, but they are. But this does lead to a little, I would say, one of the weaknesses in the plotting, which sometimes it's like, oh, and I need this device. We need a gun which can kill extra-dimensional things. And while it is a bit strange that, you know, you can... It's like in Batman, how suddenly Batman's like, well, I'll just use my bat boomerang, and I'll use my bat eyes to be able to see in the dark, and I'll need my bat underwater breather kind of thing. You know, James Bondy kind of thing that's like, he suddenly goes, well, I need this, and he just goes along and says, oh yes, I have that invention, it's over here. However, that is always just used to propel the story forward, not as in, ah, I need this to get me out of a scrape. It's like, I need this later on, but to get it, I need to get this substance, or I need to get this design, or I need to get these designs to this person, or I need to work out this. And if I work on, and if I do work on that, I can't be working on something else over here. And if I can't work on that over here, well, I've got to leave that to other people, and are they going to do it? And so it's never just sort of like a, hey, I need this thing. Ah, here it is. It's more, hey, I need this thing. Well, that's going to take me about a chapter and a half of struggling, which is going to bring me into this danger and put me into this danger and bring these other people into danger. And I need to do this and do that and all the other kind of things, which, again, makes what would have otherwise been a plot deficiency into actually interesting an adventure. And that's what this, of course, as a serial novel is all about. It's about bringing this adventure onwards. And yet at the same time as the cool science fiction gadgets and ideas, there are what I really enjoy about it is the more mythological kind of ideas about saying, hey, you know this ancient god? Well, he was locked up and killed. And this one over here, well, that one wasn't killed. That was just locked up. And this one over here, well, that one's still lurking around and is really bad. And this one over here, you know, and you can get these different things. Now, what is interesting is that the Last Mage, his role or his ancient identity is never really clarified. You're thinking, well, was he Merlin, or was he Loki, or was he another one of these mythological figures back then? I never found it exactly clear who he was, but in a way, I like that. I don't always want these mythological stories to be retellings of ancient stories with the same old characters. It's quite nice to have someone who's been around all this time, and using his powers for good. What else? Yeah, the normally I talk about the writing, and here, like you say, it's first draft kind of writing, but it does. It does go at quite a pace. What I want to talk about really with the writing is that the idea of having this frame story. It starts off, and the first live, it just goes, it wasn't the first time someone spat on me, but it was the first time blood accompanied it. And you realize this is actually a statement of the Last Mage talking to a writer. So the mage is sitting there, and he's sitting across from the writer, and the writer he's listening to it and recording at the same time, and he's making notes on the waveform. As the waveform goes past of the stuff he's recording, he's making notes to himself on some kind of iPad kind of machine, I'm guessing, little tablet kind of thing. But then, outside of that, you've got the idea that... So the mage is telling the writer, and so you're getting what the mage is saying, and you're getting what the writer is writing his notes about, and you're getting what the narrator is saying that the writer is thinking in their conversations between the two of them. Plus, you're getting the extra level outside of that, which is Andrew Eckhart himself, like his own writing. And like I say, he gets to that point, or he gets to a point where this action is taking a bit of time and it's going away, and he just gets to the end of the chapter and he's like, okay, I'm just going to stop this here. These characters are important, but I've been spending too long on them. I actually just wanted this to last a few seconds. This to last a few paragraphs, some short vignettes, and it's turning into a big adventure story in its own right. I'm not going to continue writing this. Just take my word for it that this is important and these characters are important, and back to the main story again. And I really quite like that honesty that you can do in this serial thing where an author is actually, you know, doing that direct address directly to the reader. It's like, hey, over here, don't look at this mistake back here. Just don't worry about that. Let's get back to the main story. which again is interesting. And you get, of course, the outside of that again, actually, Andrew Eckhart on his website himself saying, this is what the story is about. This is the table of contents. This is how long it's taking me to do it as well. So we've got all these different levels of storytelling. And on the other side, me as a reader, I'm kind of, at some points, I'm identifying, and depending on what's going on, sometimes I'm identifying with the different characters in the story that Valentine is saying. Sometimes I'm associating with Valentine himself. Sometimes I'm associating myself with the writer and looking at Valentine from outside of Valentine's point of view as the writer going, oh, well, explain this. What do you mean, demons? What? Tell me about this. Why are you doing this? And the writer is asking the questions that I want to be answered. And then on top of that, I'm seeing stuff from the point of view of Andrew Eckhart, the writer, who is saying, hey, like dropping in these hints and dropping in these, it only happens explicitly once where he says, okay, I'm taking the story in this direction. But other times you can see it because I'm seeing him as a writer and you can see that he's like working out the characters as he goes along. He's like writing notes to himself within the story saying, ah, this character is like this. Let's make sure that we see it's like this. You know, he's actually, you can see it in the story. It's like, okay, I need to show this, not just say it. And then he goes on to show it and not just say it. So sometimes it's explicit and sometimes it's implicit that this is a writer working out a story, not working out the story, but working out the writing of the story as he goes through. And then outside of that, which I also identify with as a reader and as a writer myself. And then outside of that, I identify with Andrew Eckhart himself as the person who's writing the story, that he wants to write a cool adventure story slash kind of superhero story, but not just it being a normal superhero, but using science fictional elements to also tell like a mythical level fantastic story, but from a science fictional point of view, as he says on his website. And I found it very interesting that I got all of these different levels of connection with the characters, with the storyteller, with the other storyteller, with the other storyteller, and then with the author himself. And I was kind of brought through those different layers and enjoyed the story and pretty much every one of those levels. And I don't think I've seen, I mean, of course, there are many stories that do this, you know, bringing up a good example, which is, actually, I can't think of any off the top of my head. I guess Slaughterhouse-Five is a bit like that, that you're getting, like, at the beginning, Kurt Vonnegut says, look, so people always ask me, is war bad? And I say to my kids, well, whatever you do, never take part in a genocide and never be gleeful about what a genocide is. So getting out the idea that genocide and war is bad, let me tell this story. And then he goes on to tell the story sometimes from Billy Pilgrim's point of view and sometimes from like the narrator's point of view, and he skips forward and backwards. So I guess that's the same kind of idea, by bringing in the author and the different storytellers within the story. Yeah, because he goes, oh, and Kilgore Trout said this in this story. And, you know, he brings in the idea of storytelling into the story and brings you through the different layers, and you see the different characters doing their things and see their attitudes from different points of view as you go back through like a frame story of a frame story of a frame story and back to the author himself. So I guess that's a good example or a good comparison there, which brings me on to the last part of the a little bit more about the writing. It is actually a very amusing book. The characters are really quite dynamic and interesting, although they're not all totally fleshed out. However, the main one, which is the mage, which is of course the character that Andrew Eckhart is exploring in the most depth, pretty much the only one, because like I say, every chapter which isn't about him, no, I think every chapter except one is about him, and he's the main character in it, so it always comes back to him, and we're always following him, and so often seeing inside of his head from his point of view, and also from, like I say, from the writer's point of view, that we get deep into this character. And he's actually a really entertaining guy, and quite a deep guy, and it's more than, again, I guess I don't read any superhero books, and I don't read this kind of like superhero kind of fiction very often, but what I enjoyed about this is that there is a good exploration of like, well, if you've got the power to do this, why don't you do it? And if you've got the power to do this, why don't you do it? And which I thought was handled interestingly, but like I say, bringing the humanity out of this character, and yet the I wouldn't say inhumanity, because he's never like inhumane, but he is non-human in many ways, and the exploration of that is not only interesting but also really funny. In so many ways, he's talking about something, and you're like, "Yeah, I've never," looking from the outside, you know, when he talks about, you know, it's like, well, there's only a few things that I really dislike. This, this, this. Oh, and I guess this. Oh, and that. You know, you get these good, like, social commentary kind of aspects of the of the Last Mage, of Valentine, his character, which works on a character development level and as a straight humor kind of level. So it is a very light thing, and there's lots, like I say, it's lots of action, lots of interesting dialogue, and the character interactions are pretty interesting. But mostly it's a lot of fun to read this kind of thing, even though he goes quite deep into some characters or into the mage character himself. It never feels heavy handed, even though at some points it is just a conversation with one going, well, what do you feel about this? And that other person telling them. That's always just an interlude between two bigger sequences of action. It's like, I think I mentioned about what's the book Starship Troopers. I said, if you're gonna have just long discussions about economics and politics and personal growth and stuff, start with space battles. Start with space battles, and I'll pretty much follow you into way. Start and end with space battles, and I'll follow you through the long conversations. Which brings me on to the themes, which I'm not really going to talk about because I kind of covered them in the different parts of this. I guess that's what happens when I don't write out any notes beforehand or think about anything beforehand. I think I've covered the different ideas and themes that have been explored in this. So, in the end, I'm going to give this, just in conclusion, wrap up and give this this serial novel, which you can find at lastmage.com. It's free. It's a serial novel. It's not been properly edited. And even at some points, like you say, the author goes, actually, this isn't finished. If you want to wait for the finished version, that's all been edited. Wait a while and it'll be available for sale at some point. I really enjoyed it. But again, for what it was, I'm going to give it 3.5 stars. So check it out if you want. This, by the way, is not an excuse, or is not an opportunity, is not a sign that I will suddenly read any bit of fiction which someone has just published randomly online. I think I made this clear at the beginning. I do read stuff which catches my eye, and I read the things that I want, not because anybody sends me an email asking me to read it. And most importantly, Andrew Eckhart, the author, didn't send me any email asking me to read this or to review it or anything like that. But he did send me a tweet about me saying that I'm very clever. And I think he's pretty clever. So if you want me to read your stuff, what you need to do is make it engaging enough for me to find it by myself and for it to be something that catches my eye and makes me want to read in a way. You can be clever about that, but don't just, if you send me an email saying, will you read it? Probably the answer is no. So just keep that in mind. Finally, I'd like to finish off with the old Audible advert, I guess. It works like this. If you go to audibletrial.com/sfbrp, you can download for free any audiobook out of 100,000 titles that they have there. Loads of science fiction, loads of fantasy titles that they have on there. And I meant to, at this point in this advert, say a book which I would recommend that you listen to. I don't have any off the top of my head, so I might as well just say Slaughterhouse-Five. I recommended that before. Really good book, really great narration. And what's the other book that I recommended recently? Oh, The Scar as well. Narrated by Jonathan Davis. Both really great books. The way it works is this. You go there, you go to audibletrial.com/sfbrp. You sign up for a free trial. You've got this book for a month. It's yours forever if you want. If you're not going to continue with the plan, that's it. No problem at all. Personally, I have a platinum plan, which lets me have two audiobooks every month for about, I can't remember, I pay in euros, so it's around about 20 euros, and 20 euros for two books a month, audiobooks with some of these amazing narrators, for me is a really great deal. You can get the gold plan, which is less than that, maybe $15 a month or something. If you buy these audiobooks individually, though, they can cost $20, $30, $40, $50, $60 each. So I say get the plan. It's a really great deal. Sign up for that. You help support this show, and you get an audiobook for free. So check it out. That's it for now. You can email me, luke@juggler.net, if you've got any comments about this episode or anything else that I've been doing. You can go to my website, LukeBurridge.com and find my own original fiction there if you want to check out some of my own writing. You can see my blog, which is always being updated with photos and music and videos and writing and all that kind of stuff there. Otherwise, check out sfbrp.com and check out the episode lists, and you can see every book that I've reviewed in order by episodes, also sorted by star ratings and also sorted by author. So if you're going to recommend a book for me to read, check out there, see if I've already read it and reviewed it, and then send an email my way, luke@juggler.net. Or you can follow me on Twitter, @LukeBurridge. And also goodreads.com is great too. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.